both were churches established in Amsterdam in that few years. And that's the whole purpose, to bring profession, Christianity within the sphere of this. That this of the Reformation is expected to be given, and all that the professed Christ of the defense of truth and the righteousness to be brought under the wrong step. Now that will be involved in the full manifestation of the fact.
Yes, and we would be suggesting then that it is far wider than professing Christendom has been intimated, in the sense that it will embrace all world religion. Now, I happen to come from Leicester, and we have a very large immigrant population, and Sikh temples and all the rest are being built here, there and everywhere, and the so-called Christians are hobnobbing, if you can accept that word, with all of the leaders of these religions, and it's just paving the way for what will be ultimately manifested in the coming day.
But would you agree, Brother Taylor, that the main figure will be Lord?
Yes.
The main figure will undoubtedly, in my judgment, be Lord.
The Anabaptist Church is being there for all the heathen, and perfecting Christianity, and trying to come to a Christian who wants to bring the church on earth. But that which professes Christianity may embrace much of Christianity. But if I go back to Matthew chapter 13, I say that which claims to be the kingdom of heaven in a corrupted form. So I would combine this to the corrupted form of Christianity.
I wouldn't realize what our brother David has said. I'm inclined to agree with Brother Matt on this particular point, but I wouldn't realize association with on a wider field, because he's first seen with names of blossom on the big tree, and I would judge that this goes much wider. But still, I think the main pope will be Rome and the Vatican, and the pope in his domination. There will be one who thinks he's in control of his peace, the empire and the emperor, until the moment of truth when he's been lost. Well, I think it's simply a question of fornication, including all the sexual excesses that are included in that world, because the fornication of the invisible world that includes every other aspect of our people.
Can you give us our own specific example of Protestant denominations regulated?
Well, the Greek Orthodox is already in the protector, and there's great movements on to get the Russian church within the picture at the moment.
Isn't there a system that is the representative of all the corruption that's found in so-called Christianity, that a mother to a lord and the daughters of heaven very righteous. The mother to a lord, she is the source and cause of all the corruption that has come into the Christianity. And we see here in her kind of character, and I think we're not the secretary of children to share the same dream.
Do not quarrel with your application, but the mother in my judgment is still better. And that rule, virtually, is one of the dogs.
Do you mean Mystery of Babylon or Mystery of Babylon?
Babylon. Mystery. Mystery is not in that one. It's just Babylon. That's where it's burned. And that's, do remember that the Nibel of the word, the way to God. But God grew upon it and made it Babylon, which is confusedness, and that's what illegitimate religion has ever been. Dominated man, children, we completely forget that there's a whole lot of people in the confines of the world that are dominated by a false system of religion that goes right back to the dominant. Now, that is, sorry, but excuse me just a moment, for the long been trying to come in for a moment or two, to be involved in a man's. Yes. Yes, the identification, they tell us that this would be true of certain prostitutes and so on. I don't know about that, but at least it suggests that it's on our part. Now, if we are in the light of the revelation of John in the light of the identifier without any fault. And what is the yes, it's just the same with the idea of her suffering that which she thinks will appear. Now, religion always has an appeal wherever you go, to the flesh of man. I don't know whether you've ever gone into a big building with that great sense of awe and wonder. And then, of course, there is the incense and the music. That's sensual. And that appeals. And that appeals to something in man. And if you can add to that mystery, and if you can add to that light, and if you can add to that penances and prayers, it's a very religious thing, it's a very appealing thing. It doesn't have to be the excesses of the poverty. That's not the idea. It's rather the constitution in a religious sense of divine revelation that has been hidden and made the medium of making folk drunk and bringing them under the control of another heart. That is all.
That's what you mustn't forget either, that is one kind, one character of this system. Another side to attraction and attractiveness is among the kings. Those who want them to have control. Here we're reading the Lord of the Saints and the Lord of the Master Jesus. This is the other side to this discourse. So, I'm using the fact that the monster is not the number of the monster of the Lord's
fornication here. But isn't the idea in where you have, where you have the word of the Bible, the human part of being with you? But you get that in Hinduism. You get that in Buddhism. You get that in anything, isn't it? You get it stemming right down. I tell you where you find it today. You find it in our university. Scientific evolutionism is just another feature. And materialistic humanism is but another feature. It's that Babylonian thing that says religion has a part and has a year that goes back to the Babylon and the sea, the enemy, the war.
Again,
well, we must see it first from John's perspective. And the book of the Revelation was written for the encouragement of the second church. And therefore, the vision will allow the unfolding of two forces that run through Earth history. As I see this chapter, the two forces that run through Earth history, and God is going to vindicate one and destroy the other. And thus I can see as that which, even in our age, just before the full manifestation of this, we can get encouragement from as the saints are done.
But do you not think that this will be a source of revelation and encouragement to the godly remnant in the coming day as the mystery is really unfolded to them?
Yes. It will be clearer. Clearer then.
We often hear the prayers of mother and the God. That together as a part of God, the principles are pure. Should we then be able to face the problem when both the mother and the daughter embark on the Holy Scripture corrugation?
Well, we're not giving identification, giving identification of the body. We're simply saying that what she produced will look like hers. And that again confirms me in the view that Babylon itself produced what is like her. And having the big features in each age.
The nations of the world, the world nations, Christendom, because of the world of the world, in order to see the world of the
world. Well, now, you're making very broad charges for the psalm. I would say wherever you get the principle of the practice from the Word of God and the Spirit of God teaching His people, you have incipient there.
It's not a problem there, it's a level of continuing to work. Do we not see it from there, isn't it? Do we not see it in those denominations where there is a growing apostasy before the eye? And do we not see that as helpful to a coordinator? And Paul's room, the daughters became harder, the daughters became more of a harder.
Yes, what you say is true, Sam, but it's confusing to symbol. It's confusing to picture, it's mixing to metaphor. That's not going to become the job. Here it is the picture of the woman. The picture of the meal is a different picture. But here is the picture of the woman, and that I think that we stick with that. So she would have a problem.
But where did the boat become the harbor?
As soon as she prostituted the divine revelation to her own interest and for her own pleasure, at that point she became a harbor. And Genesis 10.
Mm. Yes. Now I know you're wanting to get on to the next section. Could you just distinguish between the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus.
Yes. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now I suggest there are two passages. There are two statements there. And the order of the statements would not allow me to bring in the tribulation sin, but and the saints. Now that goes back to Babylon itself. And the blood of the martyrs of Jesus is both subsequent to the coming of Christ. And now it's sometimes forgotten. We, maybe in Ulster very particularly, we fasten upon the poverty and darkness of the Inquisition and the blood that Rome has shed. And she has shed the great bloodshed. But don't forget, there was a large part of church history when people Rome didn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, where Hebrews 11 speaks of these that were slain upon the earth, and the church, the message to the church at Smyrna indicates that there were people on death when people Rome didn't even exist at that time. So that there was another force that was exactly the same, a force of God, but now, in this case, it seems
in Roman Catholicism preeminent.
How he can run, walk, and is not. that he's under the Roman Empire. Now to me, that rules out the Roman Empire right at one stroke. Here we have the beast that I saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, or about to come out of the abyss. And the parallel statement at the close of the verse, the beast in that is was and is not, and I did not rather shall be present. Now, this week, John is looking at it, and he's told, it is not, and it's not. I submit that this is Babylon as the imperial power. And that imperial power was supported of the religious power. And that's where the prostitution came in. And thus the two joined together, throughout the ages, will have a final unfolding, a manifestation in this beast that is dragon character, and that comes up and has the seven heads and the ten horns. The seven heads speak of power, and I submit they unfold to us, succeeding, successive powers. For as the horns speak of person, and they unfold to us the simultaneous kings who are reigning at the one particular time. And the world shall wonder as they see this beast, and those who wonder are described in certain terms. I will leave it at that point for my brother and the minute. I know that others don't accept that. This is a change, for example, will be the revised Roman Empire.
There's no question of getting on your face before we advance it on the subject.
Would you remind me of the
time? I came born on the 4th day in Denmark.
Yes.
But then, we did not think of this thing for 7 years as being the 4th day, and taking it in prophetical terms today. Term that was and is not, I would say that dissolved in its perfect sense.
I think that last is an escape clause. And I don't think it's admissible.
When you attend the 10 forms, there are 10 kings.
Yes.
And Daniel makes it very clear that those 10 forms are seen on the 4th king, not the first.
Yes, there's no problem with that. If you look back to Revelation chapter 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. Now, there is the emergence of an empire. Now, that is Daniel's perspective. That is the 4th empire. Now, this is the same empire, but this beast had not a beginning then. This beast had a beginning before it was. And in John's day is not, and it's yet to come. In other words, he's pinpointed the totalitarian power that upheld our religious power, and the emergence of this will be when this is seen together. And when the totalitarian power supports the religious power in a way that will be manifest, and the 7 heads and the 10 horns, that's the final phase of empire, will be seen.
The people that were described in this one are they not the people of the prince?
Is that?
The prince that would make the covenant with the money in the land, yes, the people of the prince, the trying to whisper. That is undoubtedly the Roman power. And now he's seen as the prince of those people, and he's to make the covenant with the money in the land. Will that not be there for
you? You're putting a name on that prince, which I think will justify. That is, don't you think Jerusalem will be destroyed again?
But the people that would come and advise the generation are associated with the prince of the native government.
Exactly. That's the point. It's those people identified with that prince, the one who makes the covenant to start the 70th week. The prince is, yes, that's right.
He belongs to the people that have destroyed Christians. Actually, this prince has been associated with the Roman Empire in which you guys fought. Without existence, with a deadly wound, and here we see to the wonder of the world, it's revived again, and it comes in alliance with this corrupt system, the religious system.
Well, now, may I ask a question, for the time I'm going to go against my own rule and skip about it to down the first night, so that we identify that this speech. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. Similar statement in verse in chapter 13. Now we're told the seven heads. Now this will help us in our identification. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And we're told what these seven mountains are. There are seven kings. That are the persons and powers here I judge are associated. And we are told further that five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. Now, this to me explains exactly what is in view. Here are seven heads, or seven mountains. Now, a lot of our brethren will tell us that this has a reference to Rome, as the seven mountain city. That is not so, either. Rome was occasionally in certain literature called the Seven Hills City. Never called the Seven Mountains City. The Seven Hills City, and you would have difficulty identifying the Seven Hills, actually they are ten. And if you want the Vatican, it's not even on one of the hills. That city is heavy. The point is, she's in control. She sits. That's the idea of sitting. So that here is a woman controlling the seven heads. We're told there are seven mountains. In scripture, mountains always speak of kingdom. And I doubt that what is said here is you have seven kingdoms that have been the support over which the woman has been in control. Now, John says, five are fallen, the word describing downfall, and one is, and one is yet to come. Now you might fasten the powers and say, well, if these are not the actual physical hills, then are they emperor? And you're going to search back in history, are you, for five emperors, five Caesars before Domitian, under whose reign John ruled? I think not. And to think of these as seven types of Roman rule, as some have suggested, to me is less than trivial, it doesn't fit the passage at all. I submit that John sees this woman supported by a beast that has had an existence. Looking back through history, he sees five kingdoms and five kings. Go back to Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo Persia, Greece, and Rome. Rome. Five columns, one is the Roman Empire. But there's another yet to come. And that one to come will be linked with the Roman Empire. But it will be a revival of a thing that stupefies the world, a mighty power that comes to uphold the system that seems to be in control. I think that's trivial. I don't think that at all. I think that is to demean this I believe they were. I believe that Egypt in Pharaoh was the worm power of the sea. As sure as the terrier under the metal. And you get kings, you get problem, Nebuchadnezzar, and so on. And then you get the Patriarch and Alexander, and then the Rome power of the sea. Peter using that word as to bring together all the domination of a totalitarian world that Babylon can do.
I feel that whatever Brother Alan has said has been most helpful, and I personally would endorse those views. In fact, I think I'd agree with about 95% of what you've said, Brother. The only query that I would have in my mind is, I just wondered, with that expression in verse 7, the beast that carries her, it seems to have an opposite line from the idea of sitting. And I just wondered whether the beast here is cunningly portrayed as carrying her for its own end. You see what I mean? The woman seeming to have carried her.
Well, you see, I think this will come into clearer focus as we move on down and see his action. Because there's something else.
Brother Alan has said it's been most helpful, and I personally would endorse those views. In fact, I think I've agreed with about 95% of what you've said, Brother. The only query that I would have in my mind is, I just wondered, with that expression in verse 7, the beast that carrieth her, it seems to have an opposite line from the idea of sitting. And I just wondered whether the beast here is cunningly portrayed as carrying her for its own ends. You see what I mean? The woman seeming to have carried her.
Well, you see, I think this will come into clearer focus as we move on down and see his action. Because there's something else under the surface here, I judge, that this Babylon in mystery form is to be destroyed. And I would suggest, in further answer to Brother Sam's question earlier, I see this destruction in the middle of the week. And the mystery form is past. And Babylon takes its last form. But no mystery now. There's a man here. There's a man here. There's a man demand. And it's Babylon in manifestation, in full form. Not mystery anymore. That's the distinction I would make between carrying her. He's got his own program. And he's just using her. So the moment comes where he has to be
responsible.
So
the
next thing
that the
dream is the same year. Thank you. But you and I know are dreams. And I made their point. Now, Brother Lily, if you're going to take me into Daniel at 25 to 5, I would just rather leave it at that point.
And he will do that as the ever-given end of the entire
I'm not a historian, but not to my knowledge. No, not to my knowledge. I would say that. But this changing form is not in essence belonging to the Roman Empire, belongs to the Babylonian Empire. It is not manifested. Now I know. There's an empire Daniel looks down the street. And he sees what? And he sees the last day in this empire and emperor that show manifesto and which manifested Babylon.
In my judgment,
yes.
Now,
where did I miss out from what I was
saying?
Right.
That's the least carried balloon. They are into the moving of the
control. And this is mentioned here in their faith, coming out of the bottomless pit, or ascend to the bottomless pit. I think it is the same view of chapter 13, which is listed there as the word of seed.
Yes, would you agree, Father Stim? Now we are in very difficult waters, as I think you all agree. Would you agree that at the midpoint of the 70th week, the empire having been clearly seen from the beginning of the week, or even before that, the signing of the covenant becomes the key that brings it onto the prophetic stage. And from that, summed up in an emperor. Now, it's sometimes difficult to see the distinction between the emperor and the empire. And there seems to be almost a parallel history between the two. And that the empire, in the pattern of the emperor, receives a deadly wound in the beginning, in the middle of the week, possibly through that invasion of Daniel 9, but God intervenes and destroys the enemy. But the result is that in the emperor there's almost a resurrection, a travesty of a resurrection. As there was the way back with Thomas in Dublin, a travesty of a resurrection. And a man now comes, the leading empire, that's no longer out of the sea, but out of the bottomless pit, that belongs to him. And this empire and the temple then begins along parallel persecution of the people's self and is identifiable as satanic in its own. Well, I agree. Yes, I agree. But did you notice that the participle is present? They haven't emptied it yet.
The very end. The all I have to say is, everybody's heard what I said. As you know, I have to be the fact that you already gave up the mother. The destruction of but it were from end toward the end of the week.
I would.
The final confirmation from church and part of all the
that's correct. The participle describing the angel, it's not had the bowl, it's having the bowl, which may suggest that the bowl's not poured out yet. But, no, I know that. You will agree, would you, or maybe you wouldn't, huh? But I have sought to outline that this goes back to chapter 14, the first phase, as it were, of the fourth. And it's at that point, linking it back with chapter 14, then the bowl are poured out, and the last phase in chapter 18 is the culminating point of the destruction of Babylon. That would be the difference that I would make.
Would you make a difference between her destruction and her fall?
Yes, I do.
That is the fall coming before the destruction.
Wait a moment now,
we're getting to which we're referring to chapter 17.
Are you referring to chapter
17?
No, that's the actual destruction in my judgment of the city.
It was further than chapter 18.
Yes, that's right. As I would say, now the destruction of the system in the middle of the week opens the way for this man to set himself up in the temple of God, clearing the event. And that opens the way for the last phase, which is judgment temporary.
chapter 16.
That's correct. That's in chapter 18. That's my job. That is how I see it. Sorry? I'm sorry? It's the satanic character. The satanic character. And it's going into perdition as the beast will go. Now, brethren, I'm going to push you on very quickly, just to mention verse number 8, that here are those who will wonder at what has taken place. And you will notice they're identified in three ways. They're identified morally, they are, well, I think there's 12 mentions of that dwelling upon the earth. And it's a moral identification. They belong to earth. Saints belong to heaven. And thus there is a distinction. Spiritually, you get whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now, here by their association and their acceptance, which I take has been the thought of the wonder, that they are identified with this system. And this proves that their names are not in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now, I'm not going to give you a definition of the book of life. I'm going to leave that for our brother Jim and put all the problems to him. But I just give my view that I don't see any difference between the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. And it seems to me that this statement simply indicates that these people have proved now by their action what was in divine purpose and divine sovereignty. And this is conclusively shown by their action. And from the foundation of the world tells me this, that as God's redemptive purposes were complete in purpose, as he established the world in the Lamb, now the whole program of history is involved as well, is in this unfolding of the register of heaven, which I take to be the Lamb's book of life. You're going to give me some trouble.
10 horns or 10 kings. You tell us this is universal.
I didn't use that word in connection with these kings. I'm not saying it's universal. It's 10 kings. Full stop. Mm-hmm. We're not told over what realm they live.
But the reign or rule with the reign for a short time. Does that not suggest that there is a restricted area? He will have a worldwide influence, as you see big powers today. But the realm over which he rules would seem to be an association with 10 kings.
You are quoting from verse number 10, Brother Sam. Now, let's look at that. Verse 10, and our 7 kings. There should be no there in the text. So that the 7 mountains, the 7 heads, 7 mountains, 7 kings, all as it were, stand in line. 5 are fallen. I have given you my view on that. 1 is Roman Empire. The other is not yet come. Now, and when he comes, now the subject is changed. Because here you have a person in view, and the masculine is emphasized here. When he comes, so that the empire is reflected in a person. And when he cometh, he must continue a short thing. I'm going to suggest that short space is the 3.5 years of the first half of the week, of Daniel's 70th week. And thus, having reached that peak, as the 7th, he reigns to the first half of the week. That's perfectly clear to me, anyway.
he shall continue a short space. Now, and the beast that was, and is not, and even he is the end. So something happens that brings him in out of the seven. The emperor, we're told in chapter 13, has a deadly wound. And he sees. And I submit it's at this point that things change. The middle point of the week. So that he's of the seven, but he is the eighth. And the eighth, as you know, speaks of resurrection. Mm. And he's of the seven, but he's the one that goes into perdition. That's the last thing when he moves to claim DNA. And that he's destroyed by God himself.
I'm in the thorny or horny question. I'm on the 10 kings. I took the trivial of the seven heads, but being consecutive from four and from one. But I took the nine. The 10 kings now, does this suggest a restriction to his actual territory over which he blew? And then back again to the 10 horns on the fourth beast. I can't get over that.
To be clear, I don't see your problem at all.
No, I haven't got a problem. I don't think the Roman Empire was even answer, because if the Roman Empire was a world before, then whoever Rome would be in the 10 kings. The power is very wide and the instrument is very wide. There's nothing here to denote a certain area so many acres, measured by longitude and latitude of any acres. Isn't it a worldwide power? The astounding head and the world is one.
The decree went forth that all the world should be taxed.
But of course, Sam, you must keep language within its content. You must keep it there historically as well as scripturally. When the Romans spoke of the whole world, he meant the whole world, and he meant the whole Roman world.
Yes, whole Roman world.
Well, it's the same idea here. Here is a king who has power, and his power is of a world empire. We don't know, and I think personally it's wrong to link it so tightly to the sphere of the old Roman Empire.
Do you believe that this is a revived Roman Empire?
No.
The head of the revived Roman Empire.
I leave the word revived out. It's not in the scripture.
Brother Tim, if we were to suggest that the earth is the Roman Empire, and then Jesus would be the peer of the Roman Empire, he was true by the people of Austria.
All right, we'll take you one at a time. Yes, Brother Paul.
And where was given here the Lord kindred and tongues and nations and all that dwelt upon the earth.
I would find it very, very difficult to confine that to any particular location. My judgment, and our brother will disagree, and they'll still likely be unconvinced at the end, but language like that indicates to me that this person who represents in himself all the power of this empire has a dominion. That's why. Where we want in its scope.
Where they are the only world.
That is not swords in this particular
They have then two existences. This is not the only one.
Well, now if you
write that those that are antagonistic to the day.
Well, that will come out in other scriptures in connection with maybe chapter 16. And if you look at Daniel 7, you recognize that the fourth beast, the other beasts, are in his presence. You see, the fourth beast is a power that emerges at the end time. And that end time is the unfolding of a Babylonian totalitarian system that is linked with a religious system that's summed up in a man who takes precedence worldwide.
The first beast of the fourth beast mentioned specifically.
That is correct.
So the kings of the Egypt city were come over from, I'm talking to you, different again, are not included in this kingdom family. And I judge that we're totally wrong. If we fight spread over the world, it's simply the divine Roman Empire under 10 kings, specific area, covering much the same territory of the Roman Empire.
Well, now you've heard Mr. Machine.
Which other lady is telling us who is able to make war with the beast? He stands supreme in his totalitarian and in his dictatorial character. I may have, you shouldn't say I may have, you shouldn't have. The foundation may be telling us that unable to do anything about it. It's the power that the others have.
That debate there isn't as a world power of present day. The countries surrounding Russia, they don't agree with the rule of the standard of all. They are not stronger than Russian Britain. And I judge in the future that such will be the power of this revived empire that the world will wonder at it. But I don't believe it will be universal.
All right, now we move to verse 12 and see here the part of the power of this man and this empire. The 10 horns which thou sawest, we are told specifically, are 10 kings. They have received no kingdom as yet. You needn't look back to the Roman Empire for them. They have received no kingdom as yet, but receive authority as kings. One hour with the beast. And I judge that that's an expression that indicates that in contrast to preceding empires, this empire will be of relatively short duration. Just a little span. Now these are one mind. That is, they subject their will to his one purpose, and they hand over their power and strength unto the beast. And part of that, you notice the period for which they wield the power, the purpose for which it's wielded, and the war in which they engage is with the land. And I take it that takes us right through the 3.5 years at the close of the Daniel 70th week, and the summary of the Spirit of God is this: the Lamb shall overcome them, he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings.
In early weeks of that empire had ever been, verse number 13. They were all on 9.
That would be a big thing. I haven't, no. That's using it. Well, I'm not sure.
But it's not a question of the period of their reign. It's a question of they both get their same honor of the one woman, not the one hour.
So now, that's worth thinking about. I haven't thought about that. You can think about that. 1 hour with the beast. And then the war, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and this will come again into a later Bible reading where we will have a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm going to be asking our brother in charge, now why the difference here? When you get it in 1 Timothy, you have King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that's in Revelation 19. But here it's the other way around. Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And with that Savior, there are with him the man, the called one, the chosen one, the faithful one, all in the plural, he associates with him the redeemed that he has bought and brought out from under this power. Now I'm still going to go on fairly quickly because we have only moments left. And he said unto me, the waters that I saw where the whole cities are people, multitudes, nations, and towns. That again emphasizes the worldwide dominion of this one in my judgment. Then verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest, and most authorities, revised and Mr. Darby, change the upon to and. and the ten horns which thou sawest, and the beast. They are acting now in one mind. These shall hit the horn. Now, can you imagine that? That they have put up with her profession and her pretension, and so on, and deep in their hearts they nourish hatred of this thing that has been, as it were, upon their back, and make desolate, and shall make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, burn her with fire. Expressions that I judge unfold to us the totality of the destruction that they wield upon. You remember when Henry VIII in your history book turned upon the monastery, and he devastated the power of Rome through the monasteries at the Reformation. That would not be even a spot compared to this. When the world ruler turns upon the world church, and he robs her and ruins her, and he puts her in the fire. You might say, what on earth do they do this for? And I said at the beginning, maybe the practical reason of getting something from him, maybe the political reason, but behind it all, there was divine reason that God had put in her heart to fulfill his will. You see, history is not out of control. And the culmination of it is to do his will, to agree, to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And I think there's something tremendous about that. His word will never fail, and he brings down this apostate. Now, just a quick word or two, if someone will
ask. This is a formal problem.
Now, the end of what? That is Babylon in her. That's the mystery.
That's religion.
That's religion. That's the mystery aspect. The destruction of that religious system. And it's carried out in the middle of the week by these men who have allied themselves together to destroy this religious system. What God is in?
The lesson of this now is the word church. Does that church go back to Genesis 10?
Maybe I misused the word. The word religion would be a better word to use in that connection. The manifestation in this dispensation is wrong. It's left right at the start, but it has origins that are deeper still. When you come to the last verse of the chapter, then as we conclude, and the woman which thou sawest is that they sin. Now, a symbol is one thing, and it's a symbol of a literal thing, and I'm just going to leave it there for our brother Sam to pick up on Monday morning and tell us something more about Babylon in chapter 8. Thank you very much.
Our Father, we come to thee again in the precious name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee for the outworking of the divine purpose. And we bless thee that we are among that company who believe that every jot and tittle of thy word shall receive its fulfillment. We realize that in this present age our Lord Jesus is still despised and he's still rejected of men. But we bless thee that the eyes of our understanding have been opened, and we have been made to appreciate the beauties and glories that are to be found in him. And we are privileged to go forth unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. We thank thee that thou hast shown us in thy precious word things which must shortly come to pass. And if we believe that these prophecies will indeed receive their fulfillment, we thank thee that each day brings us nearer to the time when our Lord Jesus Christ shall return to the air for his own, and we shall be taken from this scene. We ask that we may not fail to learn practical lessons from this particular passage, that we may be enabled individually and collectively to pursue that pathway of separation down here in this scene from all that would be alien to thy mind. We thank thee then for help given to thy servant in the opening up and the exposition of this particular portion, and we look to thee for continued help as thy servants give their reports this evening, and we ask that as we are informed we may indeed be able to pray more intelligently concerning the work of God. We thank thee for our continuing fellowship together. We seek thy blessing upon these refreshments that have been provided, and we render to thee our grateful thanks in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Shall we stand up?